Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doc Rivers say, obviously, when a team has lost 16 in a row, there's something else the coaching staff can do. I'll add, when you've lost 16 in a row, a wandering college, wandering basketball eye turns to college. And there have been a lot of folks around here taking a look at the college basketball scene. And a guy who can help us do that from SI.com is their superb college basketball beat guy, Seth Davis. Seth, it's Dale and Michael. How are you?
I'm happy to be the subject of your wandering eye.
You know, we have this big argument all the time. My partner, Michael, is like the world's biggest Ohio State fan, usually.
Ohio State football.
Football more than basketball. But we have a bet going. He says Greg Oden will positively be back next year for his sophomore year. I say no way. What say you?
Well, I got about 4 million reasons to believe that he's going to come out. First of all, I still think he would be the number one pick. I know a lot of people are saying Kevin Durant, but, you know, people look at Oden and say, well, he's somewhat limited offensively, and clearly his defense is ahead of his offense. But people have to realize he's playing with a very thick wrap on his right hand, his shooting hand. He's got to shoot his free throws left-handed. I mean, I saw the kid play a lot in high school. I mean, he's a better offensive player than he's showing. And, you know, I also believe that what he's been through with his injuries might sort of crystallize in his mind that, you know, these things can happen and he's got to come out. So I'm just conditioned to believe when a guy's going to be number one overall, no later than two, he's going to come out. But I do concede this is a different kid. I mean, he has tremendous character. He's very humbled. He's got a great personality. So, you know, bottom line is I'd be very, very surprised if he came back to school. I hate to disappoint you.
That's all right, Seth. But how about this?
But if you're an Ohio State fan, I guess you're used to disappointment.
No, actually, we're not used to disappointment, Seth, except for that terrible night in Arizona last month. But we're not going to talk about that.
I'm sorry to bring up a painful
memory. That's all right. You brought it up. You'll probably bring it up again before we let you off the phone. So that tells me about your character, doesn't it? But I'm going to ask you this. If Greg Oden gets hurt right now, who's going to be the number one pick in the draft?
Well, I guess it depends on how badly he's hurt. I mean, I would still say Greg Oden. I mean, you're talking about a 7'7" kid that's still relatively young, even though he looks like he's 40. He just turned 19, and he's a unique talent. I mean, if he blew out a knee or he really sustained an injury that made you think that he wouldn't be able to recover, then you'd have to think about it. And I guess, you know, if there's a team that has a great center, maybe they would pass on him and take Durant. But, you know, if they're picking that high, they probably don't have a lot of great players to begin with. So I'm sure he'd look pretty good in Celtics green. And if Doc Rivers is looking to make an adjustment, that's a pretty good adjustment, is to put a jersey on Greg Oden. So I still think he's going to be number one. I still think he's coming out. But hey, I guess stranger things have happened. Not much stranger.
See, Seth, that was my point to Dale, talking about injuries. If he gets hurt right now, he's still the number one pick. If you talk about the 2008 draft, he's going to be the number one pick. So I don't think it's that unusual or that far-fetched that this kid will go back to school.
Well, again, you know, it sounds maybe a little bit wishful thinking, so I wouldn't, everyone always cites the example of Tim Duncan. You know, Tim Duncan grew up in the Virgin Islands. He was so unheralded as a high school player that Dave Odom, God bless him, actually considered redshirting him that was the plan, a redshirt Duncan his first year at Wake Forest. And he ended up having a really good freshman year, and then by the end of his sophomore year, he had established himself as the number one pick and ended up coming back for two more years. But, you know, outside of that, I can't think of another example. Maybe Jason Williams when he came back to Duke. But, like I say, I'm just conditioned to believe when a kid is going to be drafted that high, he's going to go.
How big is the drop-off from the two guys who we all concede are one and two in whatever order, from there to the number 3, 4, 5 pick?
Oh, I don't think it's a big drop-off at all when you're talking about guys like Brandon Wright and Spencer Hawes from Washington. And this is, you talk to NBA scouts, this is going to be considered as deep a draft as they've seen in a long time. You've got this incredible freshman class in college right now. It gives them a chance to even evaluate them at a deeper level. And, you know, obviously the NBA's age minimum has been been a big factor in that, but that doesn't explain completely the depth in this draft. I mean, this is it's an amazing confluence that the first year of the NBA age minimum, you've had this great class of players that could arguably be the best freshman class of all time. So I think that the scouts and people in the league are very, very excited about this draft. You've got some pretty good seniors coming out. Jared Dudley in your own backyard is pretty interesting. Orlando Tucker is a very good player. Nick Fizik is out at Nevada. You have a lot of very, very good players in this draft.
You mentioned scouts, and that leads us to Finch, your composite scout. You said you took the name from Alex Wolf, who is a great writer for Sports Illustrated and
yes.
Written some good books. But Finch says that Jared Dudley is kind of a tricky player. He doesn't think he's really an NBA player, but then again, Finch said the same thing about Craig Smith, and he's doing well for Minnesota. How do you see Jared Dudley?
You know, you hear mixed opinions about Dudley from these guys, and I'm not a huge NBA guy, so sometimes it's hard for me to really project how these guys are going to do in the league. I mean, I'm not so much of a masochist that I watch a lot of NBA basketball. To me, whenever you get a player like Dudley, you know, people say, well, where's he going to play? And my answer is always on the court. You know, he's just one of those guys who, I think he's a great example of someone who's really benefited from being in college for 4 years. I think he can do a lot of things well. I think he's mature. I love his intensity. You know, early in his career, I thought that he was a little bit too emotional, and I think he's learned how to really channel that emotional energy in a positive way where he doesn't allow it to get the best of him. And, he can score in a variety of ways. I mean, you know, you have to say right now the ACC is probably the best conference in the country, and right now he's the clear frontrunner for ACC Player of the Year. So, mid to late first round, certainly by the early second round, I would think he'd be a very, very smart selection. He's the kind of guy who can really make a team because he can do so many different things. I just think he's going to find a way to make himself valuable.
Before he was suspended, Sean Williams looked like he was on his way to the lottery, playing very well, blocking a lot of shots. What do you hear scouts saying about Sean Williams now?
You know, in terms of his personality and his character, they weren't crazy about him before the suspension. I think that column that I wrote, it may have been published after he was suspended, but most of the conversations were beforehand, and I was kind of getting about that. Well, I love, you know, great shot blocker, and he's a Theo Ratliff or maybe even a Ben Wallace, I just don't know about his character, and he certainly has not done anything to erase those doubts. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know what happened there in terms of the final suspension, but again, he's had problems before, and he clearly, I mean, he'll get a chance to play, and I'm guessing he'll still be drafted, but I really wonder if he understands how much money he has cost himself by his actions these last month or two.
Seth, let's, for the sake of our discussion, say both Oden and Durant come out. Finch says you always take the big guy first, and let's assume that Oden goes first overall and Durant goes second. Is it possible that a kid like Durant would be NBA Rookie of the Year, but Oden would have a greater career?
It's quite possible. I mean, the thing that Kevin Durant can do, as well as any player, forget about freshmen that I've seen come through college, is just flat-out score the basketball and make it look easy. I mean, he got 37 points at Texas Tech, which last I checked is coached by a pretty smart guy, and he got 37 points with ease. I mean, shooting deep threes and scoring in the post, and he can really, really finish. I mean, he's long, he's athletic. I think he still might be 18 years old. So he's clearly the kind of guy who can come in and have an impact right away. But, you know, I think Oden can too. With Oden, I just go back to the fact that he's got this wrap on his wrist. I mean, he can't catch the ball with the shooting hand. I mean, for him to face up and shoot a 10-footer, yeah, it's not his strength, but it's clearly an option for him, and it's an option that he doesn't have right now. So, it's a fascinating question, and it's come up a lot, and my answer is always, hey, you know, what am I gonna drive to work today? The Rolls or the Benz? You know, you can't go wrong with either one. You guys understand those things. That's what you drive.
Yeah,
well, no,
exactly,
that's what Dale drives. No, I thought it was interesting, and I think Celtics fans would be happy to hear you say that you don't think there's a major drop-off from the top two spots in the draft, assuming that Oden and Durant both come out in number 3, 4, or 5. So if you're at 3 or 4, say are you taking a Brandon Wright? Do you think this guy, whoever it is, if you're in the top 5, the player you draft can come in and start for a team?
Well, again, if you're picking that high, then I would say yeah. I mean, and you know, you have some older guys. Don't forget Joakim Noah's out there, and Al Horford down at Florida might be a better pro prospect than Noah. And I think the Kansas guys, Julian Wright is pretty good, and I think that Chase Buttinger from Arizona, I think he's going to come back. Aaron Gray is a senior from Pittsburgh. He's a big center. I mean, there's just a lot of really good guys. But, if you're talking about the, you know, the top five, six, seven picks, there's really not a bad player on the board. So, you know, maybe a little bit of a drop off after the top two. But if you're getting Brandon Wright or Joakim Noah or Al Horford or Julian Wright from Kansas, you're still getting a very, very good player who's going to be a good player for a long time.
Seth, in your opinion, if Joakim Noah had come out last year, would he have gone first overall?
You know, it's hard for me to say. I mean, he certainly would have been top five. You know, again, I think a lot of it, I think he could have made a case for him. I mean, the thing about Joe is, you know, he still hasn't quite evolved as a polished offensive player. So I think that, you know, I think he's one of those guys who is really not going to be at his best until 3 or 4 years down the road. So then the question becomes, if, you know, if you're the team picking that high, do you need someone who can really come in and score right away, or, you know, can you wait on someone to become that player? But I mean, I love the kid's personality. And again, he you know, he's a latecomer to the game. He didn't really blossom as a recruit until his senior year of high school. So, you know, his best basketball is definitely in front of him.
And I guess the question, and it's kind of tied to like Matt Leinart at USC, who I think ultimately ended up costing himself millions of dollars by going back and having a fun time at USC. Did Noah cost himself money by going back?
Yeah, I remember people wanted to say, why is Leinart going back to USC? And I'm thinking, well, you obviously haven't spent a lot of time in L.A. So, you know, college is a lot of fun. And, you know, of course, Noah, being Yannick's kid, you know, it's not like he grew up wondering where his next meal was going to come from. So, you know, I think a lot of times that's a factor. And I'll say this, you know, all those guys, you know, Brewer, Noah, and Horford from Florida, all could have come out and been first-round picks. At least two of them probably would have been lottery picks. You know, the four of them, along with Torian Green, they live together. They love being together. They love college. They love playing together. And that's why I think they're going to win the title, because, you know, there's just no chemistry issues. A lot of times on a team that's won a championship and guys come back, they're worried about their pro future, and so maybe they have a different agenda. But none of those guys are worried about their pro future. They just want to enjoy their last year of college, and it's really a delight to see.
Hey, tell us what we don't know about some of your under-the-radar guys. You mentioned Rodney Stuckey, and I hope I'm pronouncing the first name correct. Is it Joshua Blunt?
Joshua Blunt. Yeah, I haven't seen him. You know, that's why I talk to these guys, because, you know, they're out there piling up all these frequent flyer miles, and it's, you know, it's hard for me to get to see these guys. I've seen Rodney Stuckey play on television. He's a guard from Eastern Washington. Really good size on him. I think he's listed at 6'5". He might be, you know, you got to subtract an inch and a half off of that, but he knows how to use his size to create his shot. He can shoot with range. Not what I would describe as a great pure shooter, but, you know, he's young. I mean, last year he was a player of the year in his conference as a freshman. He's only a sophomore now. I'd expect that he's going to come out, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he does once he gets to those pre-draft camps, assuming he participates, because he doesn't get a chance to really showcase himself against the you know, marquee talent in the game. So, you know, to me, he's a real intriguing player. And then another guy I mentioned in that column is Morris Allman down at Rice. I mean, again, from the NBA that I watch, it's not like you see a ton of guys who can really shoot the basketball. When you've got a guy who's 6'4", 6'5", and is just a natural scorer and can really, really shoot it deep, you know, to me, he's tailor-made for the NBA game in some ways, but even more so than college.
You know, it's always a matter of degrees, and when Duke is not having a particularly good year, it's still better than most teams' years. But it does sort of seem like a bit of a reloading situation for Mike Krzyzewski this year.
No question, no question. They, you know, they only have one junior in DeMarcus Nelson. Everybody else is freshman and sophomore. You know, they lost some guys when Luol Deng left, and then Sean Livingston never showed up, and guys transferred, and you know, it can happen to an elite program. I mean, it's even worse at UConn. UConn doesn't even have any juniors. They're trying to go with all freshmen and sophomores, and right now they're just fighting to make the Big East tournament and not just the NCAAs. But, you know, Duke does – the thing about Duke is they don't have any specific player who I would describe as a great talent. I mean, Josh McRoberts, I think, is considered a good pro prospect, but he's not a good natural scorer. His best asset is actually his passing, which is kind of a red flag when you talk about a 6'10 guy and his best asset is his passing. So Duke really needs to play well collectively to beat good teams, especially when it comes to scoring. So here they've lost three in a row, and they've got five losses in the league, and three of them have come down to the final possession. So they're really knocking on the door. I was at the Carolina game on Wednesday night. They just got worn out the last 5 minutes. They played very well. So You know, I expect that they'll be able to rebound and be able to make the tournament. And listen, the guy's been in nine straight Sweet 16s. I think it's one of the most impressive streaks in sports right now, and it certainly wouldn't shock me if he found a way to get in there again.
Seth, I'm wondering how you see two of our local teams here, Boston College and UMass, both having good seasons.
Well, you know, BC is impressive to me only because I thought that they would fall off a little bit when they lost Williams and Keenan McLean. If nothing else, for the depth reasons, I mean, it just means playing their guys, their starters, that many more minutes. You know, I give them credit for not falling off so far, but, you know, they really haven't gotten it done on the road. They have a good opportunity this weekend at Florida State, and it's, to me, it's really a shame because BC to me was one of those teams that early on I was really liking because of their veteran players, their defense. I just think they're tough defensively, and you know, I think they would have had a chance to be a sleeper pick to the Final Four. And you know, UMass I think is benefiting right now from playing in the Atlantic 10, which is pretty weak. But you know, they have a couple of transfers there in the backcourt, especially with Tiki Maven and you know, and Gary Forbes, and trying to get up to speed. I think that's coming together, and obviously they're really strong up front with Freeman and Lassme. So there's only one team coming out of the A-10, I can tell you that. So whoever wins that tournament is going to get the bid.
Seth, we really appreciate the expertise and the time. Thank you for talking some college hoops with us.
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
Take
care. All right,
Seth Davis from SI.com, one of the best college basketball guys in the country, and we've got his last several columns in here. I love the whole Finch thing. I mean, it's a great idea.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.